Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running with podcast number 121, three training changes to make you faster. Welcome to the Mojo for Running podcast. I'm the coach, Debbie Voiles, and this is the podcast for middle of the packers, regular people not afraid to work up a sweat, who embrace the outdoors and that wonderful feeling of endorphins surging through their veins. My goal is to provide the information you need to achieve your goals. Now, let's talk about the three things you can do to become a faster runner. Most runners want to run faster. Not all, but most are supremely happy each time they PR, each time they set a new personal record. That doesn't necessarily mean they are preoccupied with speed, though. One thing I've discovered over the years is that there are as many different attitudes about racing as there are runners. Plenty of people run for the experience, wanting always to maintain good fitness, and they race occasionally because they just enjoy the energy, the race course, the endorphins that come with being part of a huge event, of a big race. I find that most runners, though, are interested in continually getting faster. That doesn't mean they devote all their efforts to it, though. Many people hope to get faster and try to do the right things to continually improve, but due to life and work, they can't necessarily commit to doing everything that would be required for optimal training. For most people, that's just not realistic. For example, maybe they can't commit or don't have the money to hire a coach, and maybe their work and family obligations mean they can't maintain the perfect training schedule. I'd say most runners fit into this category. Most people are in a position to PR on a regular basis, maybe not by massive amounts, but certainly you can continue to keep that time dropping by increments every few months or so, if you continually improve some element of your training. Before we get to that, though, I want to tell you about one of my favorite races. It's in January every year, so you have plenty of time to put it on your schedule. I do it every year, and in fact, it's a group event every year for Run Tampa. It's the St. Pete Beach Classic Race Weekend. Why would I want to tell you, my listeners who hail from 177 countries, about a local race? Because this weekend of races would make a great vacation for any runner and the perfect destination race for the whole family. There are actually four races, a 5K and a 10K on Saturday morning, then a 3.8-mile beach run that evening, and then the next day on Sunday is the Maddie Zolfo Half Marathon. You can do any single race or both the 5K and 10K. They call that the classic duo, or register for the classic individual marathon, which means you'll do all the races, which add up to, of course, 26.2 miles. Since there are kids races as well, there's something for everybody. And if you've never been to the paradise that is St. Pete Beach, Florida, you're in for a huge treat. I do this race every year, and like I say, Run Tampa does it every year. We keep coming back because it's always such a great experience. Everything professional, everything just right. Of course, I'll link to the race website in the show notes. The website is stpetebeachclassic.com. Oh, and did I mention there's also a beach bonfire on Saturday night? Yeah, that too. I hope to see you there. Now let's talk about three things you can do to get faster. First is mileage. Research has shown that until you're running 25 miles per week, that's the number one way to get faster. It's not unusual for me to be chatting with newer runners, and they tell me they're frustrated because they've been running several months or maybe even a year or so, but they're not getting faster anymore. One thing I ask is, how far are you running every week? The answer is usually 15, 16, something like that. Maybe 20 miles per week, but it's usually not that much. Now, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, but to get faster, it's very hard to improve without more miles. So by far, that's the number one thing I would say to do. Now, many people will say that they just don't have time for more, but I've got some ideas for you, And really, I know some people that work 40 hours a week that have a couple of kids and they still manage to train for marathons. So I think most people, if they're really committed to it and they want it enough, can find enough hours to get in 25 miles per week. But it's not easy, and it may mean you don't have anything, any other spare time. Anyway, here are my ideas. First, get in your runs by hook or by crook. What I mean is that you have, if you only have time for, say, 1 or 2 miles, do it. It all adds up. Those extremely short runs aren't ideal, but they are 1,000 times better than no run and no miles. And over time, they add up. If you think running a mile or two isn't enough to be worth it, listen to my Mojo for Running episode number 107, titled Perspective on the Number of Miles You Run. Another strategy would be to be sure to get in most of your weekly mileage over the weekend. Maybe you do 8 on Saturday and 5 on Sunday. Then you only need 12 more miles during the week, say 4 on Tuesday, 5 on Wednesday, and 4 on Thursday. Or you could do 3 Tuesday, 6 Wednesday, and 4 Thursday. What you wouldn't want to do is 4 miles on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday because you want to have longer and shorter days, easier and harder days. That's critical. Or you might, if you really wanted to do 4 miles each day, 3 days in a row, then just make sure that on the Tuesday and Thursday, those days are harder. And then make sure you keep Wednesday super easy. I won't go too much into that now because I have several podcast episodes already about the hard, easy training principle. If you haven't listened, check out episode number 60. That is super basic to training theory. The other thing is the once weekly long run. I discussed that in episode 3. So I'm thinking right now that I probably should do another episode about that because it's been a long, long time. Now, if you have had a hard time getting in the miles and you go to the gym once or even twice a week, make sure that when you're there, you do at least a couple of miles on the treadmill. That counts. You might not like the treadmill, but if you want a PR, you have to get in those miles wherever you can. The point is that you just have to get it in by hook or by crook. If it means getting up and running before work, running on your lunch hour, during your daughter's soccer practice, whatever, but work on getting in more miles each week. If you even bump it up from 16 miles a week to 18, you're still on your way, and maybe eventually, maybe some weeks, you can get it up to 21, 22. That's a very good way to actually improve your time. Number 2, work on form. This will pay big benefits in a lot of ways. For one thing, it's just more efficient. You won't get as tired with good form. So towards the end of the race, you'll be running with feeling better. Remember, head back, shoulders low and relaxed, arms at a 90-degree angle or a little less, pulling back from the elbow and allowing the arm to swing comfortably forward, but not too far and not across the body. Remember, hip to nip. Remember to let the arm swing from the shoulder. Don't hold the arm still and move the shoulders instead. I see that a lot. One of the things I suggest you do is pay attention when you're out running and you're looking at other runners. Look at how they're moving their shoulders. A lot of time when you look close at some people, you'll see that they are not swinging their arms at all. They're just moving their shoulders back and forth. So it makes it look like they're moving their arms. These people could improve their running tremendously, become much more efficient if they learn to literally let go and swing their arms. Now, their shoulders might be too tight, but there are a lot of exercises you can do to loosen up your shoulders, and that would be a good thing to do. A big part of good form is, of course, a strong core. Remember, you can't shoot a cannon from a canoe. The stronger the core, the more your energy is directed straight forward and not absorbed by a core that's like spaghetti. However, one caution, don't attempt to strengthen your core with sit-ups. We pretty much never recommend those anymore. There are a lot better exercises. There are plenty, in fact. One I would definitely incorporate every single day is planks. In fact, let me name a few I recommend. Fire hydrants, bridges, bird dogs, planks of all kinds, lateral leg raises, clamshells, side steps, hip hikes, modified metronomes, and modified bicycles, All of those are great exercises for core. None of them too difficult for the beginners. Oh, another one I left out, Superman's. You should be able to find videos of examples of all of these online. I'd say pick four of them and do three sets of 10 repeats and do that three times a week for 2 weeks. Then switch off and do a different set of four the next 2 weeks and so on. You should see a big improvement in your form due to the increased strength, and that will translate into faster time. Number three, work on getting your hips loose. As we get older, and because many people spend much of their day sitting at a desk, our hips will likely get tight. If you're over 35 and you also sit at a desk for most of the day, then I guarantee you need to work on this. When you sit for long periods, muscles in your lower core spend all that time in a shortened state. That's not good. Sitting is bad for anyone, and no amount of running can undo the damage. But there are things you can do that will help to prevent it from affecting your ability to run fast and comfortably, as much as it otherwise would. One is to stretch. Two is to strengthen. Three, and most people miss this part. In fact, a lot of people think they can fix this just by stretching. Let's back up a minute. I said one is stretch, two is strengthen. You can't just stretch, ever. Stretching and strengthening go hand in hand. So work on both of those. The third thing is to train your brain to activate those muscles and retrain the movement patterns. This can have a huge benefit to improving your form. You'd be surprised how much people barely use their hip muscles when they run. Now, I know you probably assume you use your hip muscles, but actually, sometimes the hip muscles, the muscles in your butt, can actually become turned off, and sitting is one of the things that contributes to that. Once a muscle is turned off, you have to teach it to work again, and you have to teach it to work through its full range of motion. Think about it. Your gluteus maximus is the biggest muscle of your body. You sure want it doing its job. And there are other hip muscles as well, the gluteus medius and the gluteus minimus. You want all of them fully functional and strong. Now you can go online and look up exercises for runners to do to strengthen and loosen up their hips, and try to find a yoga class also for runners. Any yoga is good. I highly recommend yoga. But in most larger cities, you can actually, there are enough yoga classes that you can find a yoga instructor that specializes in helping runners. You'd be surprised how much strengthening and loosening up your tight hips will benefit your running speed. That's it. But one more comment. All of this will also greatly reduce your likelihood for injuries. And if you get injured less often, you're going to get faster just because you actually get in more weeks of continual training without having to take off any time to recover from injury. One more thing before today's quote. As I mentioned last time, I hope you'll follow me on Instagram at RunTampa. And please comment that you're a podcast listener. I always enjoy getting a conversation going with my listeners. Now, today's quote. Two times when you find out how fast you can run. One, when you're being chased by a tiger or a lion. Two, when you're out for a run and you need a restroom and there's not so much as a bush to be found. I'm pretty sure every single runner has been in that predicament at some point. Back soon.